to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Hey guys, welcome back to Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. Well, I have an interview for you today. Lance Marzak. Got a chance to talk to him. He's got the fourth annual pig roast and fly-ins coming up July 10th, 11th, and 12th in Kankakee, Illinois. Got a chance to talk to him a little bit ago. Wanted to get this right out. And but before we really get started, I want to give my condolences to the family of Bill Crosby, the Nirvana dealer that I met at the Beach Blast a couple of weeks ago. It was a short meeting, but I did get to know him as far as, you know, some of his ideas and thoughts of the sport. And being such a small PPG community, when you lose one, it kind of makes you think. And a lot of times, myself, when I hear about pilots that have lost, you know, their lives flying PPG, it don't quite, you know, you feel sorry and you want to wish the family peace and you know, you feel, you know, that sorrow for them. But I think it hits home a lot harder when you actually meet someone for the first time. Like I said, I met him at the Beach Blast about 2 weeks ago. I had planned to give him a call, like I'm going to call a lot of other guys, or a couple other guys, to talk about like a post Beach Blast show. And he was one of the guys that I told him I was going to give him a call and, you know, and talk to him. He was one of the participants on the roundtable talk down at the Beach Blast. So, and he had some, you know, interesting points and stuff like that. Found out some other things, or as far as the accidents, kind of a little bit more details about the accident. They're not confirmed, so I'm not going to sit here and try to explain exactly what happened and what went wrong, what could have been better, what, you know, I'm not going to do that. So the person I did call to see, you know, it seemed like that he had probably had some more information about Bill was Paul at Planet PPG. So I got a chance to talk to him, which you will hear that conversation. And I have some links to one is an article, and the other one is a video clip that you definitely have to check out. It's funny, when you're meeting somebody or just anybody, you really have no clue about their background and stuff, what they may have done or what they were into. You only, you know, like when I met Bill, you know, hear Paul, he talks about, you know, his tattoos. I didn't see no tattoos. I guess I'm sitting there talking to him, and, you know, just things like that. You get these ideas about people, but not really knowing. But I think after you hear what Paul has to say, and you check out that video clip and read that little news clipping, you'll have a better idea about what kind of person he was. So anyway, the next show is going to be basically kind of a follow-up on the Beach Blast. I'm going to talk to a few people, and also we'll have some of the interviews and some of the stuff that where I was right there talking of the Beach Blast, or while I was doing things at the Beach Blast. So Anyway, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Before we get into this, I'm going to give a... I'll tell you what, wait a minute, one more thing. I'm not sure, I think I was reading there was another accident or a fatality on a PPG pilot. I'm not a pilot, I can't quite find more information on it. If there's anybody out there then that's listening to this show that has more information on the pilot, I think he lost his life out, something of, I can't remember, to tell you the truth. But if there's another, if anybody has any information on that, get in touch with me. I'd like to find out some information about the person. Just make it a little bit more personal here at Talking PPG Radio. It's always good to, I think it's good to talk about it because, like I say, safety first is my motto when it comes to flying a power paraglider. So if it's something that we can, that could have been avoided, maybe we need to talk about it. So, but anyway, before I get into it, I'm just going to give a moment of silence to Bill and the other pilot that lost his life here recently. So, thank you much, guys. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Well, on a sadder note from the Beach Blast, everybody, I'm sure you guys have been on the big list and not quite sure if you've got all the information, but if you met Bill Crosby, which is actually, I met him down at the Beach Blast, he was the dealer, got a chance to meet him down there. And he had an unfortunate accident a couple of days ago, and I ended up calling Paul and talking to him about it, and man, I tell you what, Paul, it kind of, you know, I just met him, and it still, man, it just kind of, that pit, you know, just, it messed with me. I mean, like I said, I just met him down there at the Beach Blast, man, so.
Yes, it's very sad, the passing of Bill Crosby. He was a very giving individual. If anybody cares to find out anything about Bill Crosby, just do a Google search on Bill Crosby tsunami. You'll find that Bill Crosby took quite a bit of time out of his life and quite a bit of his own money to not only move bodies in the morgue for days, but to bring food to 4,000 families on the outer islands of Thailand.
Oh,
and
really?
Feed them, where the aid could not go. He spent his own money to do so. And in fact, if you look at the CBS and ABC News episodes that they did on him on this event, they actually brought him through the house, and it was an empty house because he was selling his own furniture to be able to do this.
Oh,
he not
wow,
only spent
man.
His own money, but he spent his own time and energy to take care of those that were overlooked by the international aid funds that did not know how to get into these small islands off the coast of Thailand. So Bill was a very, very giving individual. He was energetic, he had passion for the work, and, you know, for good or for bad, he died doing what he wanted to do, which was to fly.
Yeah.
Obviously, his wife Nancy and his daughter are going to miss him greatly, just like all of us. At least we can say he went doing what he loved to do, which is fly.
Yeah.
We really have fond memories of Bill, and our hearts go out to Nancy and to his daughter, and to all of those in the family and loved ones. Bill was a very nice guy, and for the short time that I was familiar with him, because I'm also involved with Nirvana. I've been importing the Nirvana Flytel product for a number of years.
Yeah.
And it's very, very sad his passing.
Yeah, man, I tell you. It just shocked me when I got on the list, and it was like, wait a minute, I know, wait a minute, is that? And I just couldn't believe it. So, you know, safety guys, we try to preach that a lot, so like you said, he did go out doing what he loved to do. So, and you know, I don't know what else to say. It left me speechless. This is one of those things where you're kind of speechless when you meet somebody for the first time. And the cool thing about our sport is it's amazing when you do all the people that I met down there. It's like a family. We the camaraderie. Gosh, I cannot speak right now. Sorry. It's amazing how close you can get to somebody in a short period of time just in talking to them, because it's about the love of the sport that we're doing and trying to improve everything. So I think that's why I sit back and I'm like, wow, you know. And like I said, I just met him, but it's still like, wow. So, but and there's a lot of information you gave us there that I didn't even realize about. I'll have to get online and look that stuff up about this anomaly stuff. So, you know, you look at somebody you don't know a lot. It's funny because we look at each other when we go to these fly-ins, and you really don't know the background or about somebody, you know. And to hear that.
And in fact, Will, if you look across this sport, I would say a majority of the individuals that fly PPG are giving individuals.
Yeah.
I think it's a rare exception, those that are, you know, in essence, egotistical maniacs. It's a rare exception. We have those, just like any sport.
Yeah.
But by and large, I think most of the individuals that are involved in PPG are very giving individuals, and they, you know, they don't allow their ego to get in the way of doing good things.
Yeah.
And Bill was one of those individuals. He,
cool.
He really gave his heart, his money, and that's one thing that a lot of people have a problem doing, but Bill didn't. He sold his own furniture in his house to finance the giving of food to 4,000 families off the coast of Thailand, and moved bodies for weeks just so that he can make a difference.
Wow.
And one of the things that was very telling, I think, in the ABC or CBS interview was the interviewer said, "So you think that a house painter and his wife can make a difference?" And Bill paused for a moment and said, "Yes, I do. I do think a house painter and a wife can make a difference."
Yeah.
And maybe that's something that we can all take to heart moving forward. We all can make a difference, provided that we all put our heart in the right place and choose to do the right thing when time comes for us to make the choice.
Wow. All right, man. Shoot. That is, I'm going to stop there. I'm speechless, so. And thanks for the information about Bill there, but greatly appreciate it. Hopefully people will know more about him, and they will. And I suggest everybody, I'm going to get online and see if I can't find that interview and see if I can't link it or see if it's still available and try to put it on
it's
my website.
It's still available.
So,
in fact,
yeah.
I'm going to put it on my website as well.
Okay.
With Bill's passing, I want to honor him in some way, and I think that to put this interview on there, the ABC-CBS interviews, it is very telling about the good heart of this man.
Yeah.
He is unique in this world in that he gave of himself beyond his personal possessions. And that's a rare thing. Many people don't go that far.
Yeah.
That's something I think that everybody should remember about Bill going forward and try to emulate that in our own lives.
Yeah.
Because we'll all be better off for it. And again, when you don't know somebody, you know, you may look at them. For example, Bill had quite a bit of tattoos, and you may say, oh, look, he's got tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, really look beyond that and decide for yourself.
Right.
After you know the person, he's a good person on the inside.
I didn't even notice his tattoos. Well, you know.
He's got sleeves. He actually had sleeves.
His tattoos, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he had quite extensive tattoos, and he designed them all himself.
Really?
Very impressive artwork. And, you know, it may be put people off, but when you really got to know Bill, like you said, you know, because you didn't notice him, you probably just look beyond that.
Right, I didn't notice him, man. That's amazing. So
he's a great guy, and we had a very, very good time up at Beach Blast. I stayed in the bus with him there at Panama City. We got a lot of flying in before the crew came in, because we got there on Monday, and we did a lot of flying up until Wednesday, and then it was pretty much all work in the booth up to that point.
Yeah, you guys, I never did see you guys in the air. Yeah, yeah. So.
I only got to fly once on Wednesday, and I think I flew once on Saturday, and that was it.
That was it, yeah. Well, all right, man, I'm going to stop
so
right.
We're going to miss Bill, and hopefully everybody will fly safe. Don't do anything crazy, you know. Not saying that Bill did. I'm just saying that everybody needs to fly safe.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Safety first, guys. That's always.
Safety first.
Yeah.
You know, wearing a gamma over water.
Yeah.
Don't fly low. Make sure that you can make an LZ. Always have landable terrain with an easy glide distance. All of the things that you normally need to do. Do your preventive maintenance inspections on your machine. And make sure that we're thinking about what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's a very, very. Life is a very precious thing, and it's very easily lost. And we don't realize the good things that we have around us until they're gone.
Yeah.
And Bill's light is one of those things. And so as long as we can remember the good things that he's done and keep them close to our heart and try to emulate those things, the whole world is going to be a better place.
Well, thanks a lot for the information, man. Greatly appreciate it. So hopefully, a lot more people know a little bit more about him. So,
hey, guys, there you go. A little more information about Bill Crosby. I'd like to thank Paul for coming on and giving us some personal information about Bill. Man, I tell you what, no idea. I'm sitting there, I'm listening to what Paul says, like, really? And I got online, I found an article and also the interview about Bill, and I'm going to put it on talkingppgradio.com, or be a link to the article, and also I will embed the, if I can, embed the video on my website. So, wow, that's all I'm going to say. And it's just amazing. You see somebody and you just have no idea. So we'll leave it at that. And I have up next for you Lance Marzak. Talked to him a while ago. Lance, sorry it took so long to get this out, but he has a fly-in coming up, and we'll get right into it. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Well, guys, welcome back to Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. On the line with me today is Lance Marzak. Personally, myself, I know him from videos and seen some of the stuff he's actually put out there. Always looking for his next video, so we wanted to give a call and talk to him about the 4th Annual Pig Roast and Fly-In that's coming up July 10th, 11th, and 12th in Kankakee, Illinois. Welcome, Lance. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. Well, I don't know. Like I always do, I try to get information about everybody, how they ended up getting into powered paragliding. And so tell us a little information about yourself. Let people know who you are.
A little information about myself. Well, back in the 80s, when I seen the ultralights flying overhead, it was always an intriguing idea to just be able to float around in the air. Then took it one step further and looked at, well, maybe I'd make a career out of flying.
Yeah.
So I started flying a Cessna when I was 15, and I was going to, hopefully be a commercial pilot. And at the time, I did get my private license, but, the airline industry is kind of like it is today.
Yeah.
It wasn't looking too good.
Yeah.
I just kind of got away from the GA flying, and was always intrigued, by the power paragliding. Seen them in the magazines, and I was like, man, that would just be so cool to be able to run into the sky. And one day, I was browsing around on Barnstormers, ran across an ad for some used equipment that only had 20 hours on it.
Yeah,
and I had to buy it.
There you go.
It was within driving distance, and I went and took a look, and it was the coolest thing I've ever seen, Nothing like running, into the air. And I don't know if it's been a good thing or a bad thing. It's an addicting sport, as you know.
Yes, absolutely.
unless you live in Florida, you gotta appreciate the days that we have in the Midwest that we can actually throw our gear out on the field and run into the air without getting blown all over the place.
Exactly right.
But, makes you appreciate the calm days. But, I don't know. Like I tell people, I said, there's nothing like it. I said, it's hard to describe the sport, but I'm totally 100% into it. And I got quite the motor collection going.
Do you? Okay, as I was wondering, because a lot of the videos I've seen and stuff like it, it's a red machine with a white prop. I'm like, what is he flying?
That's my Solo 210.
Okay.
It's a Parapower unit. It's okay. Imported from the UK over there somewhere in Poland. Andy that's up in Chicago here, he used to be an importer, but, those were, they're due to the... the dollar.
Right.
He just stopped importing. The cost, it wasn't cost effective. So I was lucky enough to get one.
Okay.
And there's not too many of them out there, but it's my favorite toy. I have a couple Top 80s,
mm-hmm.
and I have a MZ-34 that I just rebuilt and put on a flash trike.
Oh, okay.
And I collect bargain machines.
Bargain machines. Okay, nothing wrong with that.
You know, when I the only you know the only problems that I've had with my parapower unit is you know the spark plug cap come off twice.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And,
I think there was a video of one of those.
It was. I was 20 feet over the corn.
Yeah.
And it just says, whoa. So you look down and you go, okay, corn, weeds,
right.
or that little grass tiny strip. I'll
yeah.
take that. But a couple O-rings on the spark plug works very well.
Very well. Hey, there you go, guys.
You know,
there's a trick for you.
It, you know, it's never failed me after that. But you ever hear Bob Armand's, I think it was Bob Armand. Do you know when a paramotor's about to quit?
No, I don't remember that.
If it's running.
Okay. Yes, you know, you're right. Exactly right. He's right, yeah.
But, no, I've had good luck with my solo.
Hey.
You know, The reason I started collecting other machines, I wanted something that was a little bit more portable. This was a two-piece cage, and
oh,
I went
okay.
out to Mo Sheldon's fly-in, the Flying Circus.
Yes,
and it cost me $250 to ship it round trip.
Oh,
the box was
wow.
so big.
Yeah,
and after that, I just you know started looking around for some used you know motors, and
uh-huh.
I happened to run across the Top 8. It was totally in parts. And, you know, bought it, rebuilt it, bought a frame, and, you know, that one thing led to the other. I'm a bargain shopper.
Yeah.
So
oh, nothing wrong
right,
with that.
Right
yeah.
now I'm up to five working paramotors.
Oh.
And,
did you say something
nice
about addicting? Did you say something about addicting sport there, didn't you? I mean, earlier, I believe, right? So,
yeah,
right, anyway,
it's addicting.
So, all right, go ahead. Oh, okay.
I think it's certifiable, you know. Certifiable sickness.
Oh.
But
go ahead,
you know, if there's a bargain out there, I try and pick it up. But the only nice thing about having the extra motors, you can only fly one at a time. But
yeah.
You know, like Mo Sheldon will come up here from that competition that was held down in Greenville.
Yeah,
and, you know, I brought an extra couple motors, and he flew one down there. And when people come up here, it's nice that, you know, there's the option of, hey, your motor's not working, take one of mine, you know. I enjoy, you know, helping people out.
Help.
If, you know, if somebody's wanting to fly into the fly-in, you know, if they're wanting to fly, you know, like Midway or O'Hare, that's about an hour away from us north,
yeah.
You know, like Remy, I hope I don't pronounce his name wrong, but I think it was Remy Swab is how you pronounce it.
Okay.
He come all the way from Panama.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's not Panama, Florida.
Right.
You know,
right.
Stuck in the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
And, you know, he borrowed one of Jeff Going's extra motors when he come to our flying.
Oh.
And,
all right. Well, let's see.
Where are we?
Yes, babbling. Exactly. No, babbling's good, though, because that's one of the things I tell everybody is like, if you hear me babbling, sorry. You know, so no, you're doing fine. It's all good. So, well, cool.
Another bad part of the sport.
Yeah.
Babbling.
Yeah. You know, it's
somebody asked me about you know, like if I'm wearing a power paragliding shirt.
Yeah.
They're going to get all the information.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Do you really want to start this conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to start that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
How long you been doing it?
Yeah.
But
okay.
It's an amazing sport. You know, I've been to several events, and you know, you just find that you know it's just a good group of people overall.
Yeah.
Only a few idiots out there, like you know, you'll find in any place. But I just you know, everybody that I've you know met is just you know just all about flying. You know, they just want to go out and just you know just enjoy the flight.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially. It's funny because when I started thinking about doing this right now, it's one of those things where it's like, well, is anybody going to talk? Does anybody want to talk? And the one thing I found is like everybody I've talked to so far, and it's like, man, it's just like, hang on. I find myself, especially when I'm trying to find out information, and I find myself, okay, I've got to ask questions. Let's engage in this conversation because I find myself sitting back listening. So it's like, and everybody just talks, and it's one of those things where if it's a sport or it's just man, everybody's friendly. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. So it's been
unless
nice.
Unless you're over on the big list.
Oh, I'm going to talk to you about that. I saw your post, man. I saw
you
your post.
My post.
Yes, I'm going to talk to you about that. Absolutely, yeah.
Let's touch base on that. I mean, a few of the people that I have met,
yes,
and along the way at Lions and stuff,
yes,
and, you know, just super people. And one thing about the list, you know,
yeah,
you just... it's hard for people to joke.
Yeah.
You know, I find that, you know, I can tell that somebody's joking, but then somebody else takes it as, you know, hostile act or
yes,
something, you know.
Right.
But, you know, and I just, you know, I just kind of sit back and I read, you know, every once in a while. You know, I stay on our Illinois list for the most part. And wanting some entertainment, I'll go over and I'll kind of browse through the, you know, the local gossip on the, yeah, on the big list. But Paul's a good guy. You know,
I'm going to talk to Paul. He's a flight junkie. I called him and talked to him about, it was right when that posted, talking about, you know, he showed his horse video. But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I look at the video and you know, if you knew the person, you know, behind the video,
right,
he means no harm to anybody.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I think where it comes is, you know, people start getting into this, you know, he supports that Captain Kirk over there. I don't care if it's Captain Kirk, Bob, Eric, you know.
Right.
I just want to fly.
Right.
I don't want to get into the politics of it. And, you know, it's just like, you know, let's fly, guys.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into the dealer end of it, it's, you know, it's all about business and, you know, kind of a shame, you know, because
yes,
it starts separating people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't care, you know, what part the spectrum you're on. You know, I just want to fly and
right,
enjoy it, you know.
Well, I was talking to Dave Holcomb out of, he's Midwest Powered Paragliding.
I was talking
to him here a couple days ago, and I was telling him, I said, you know, I am only motor I know right now is the Fresh Breeze, which is what I have, the 780 122.
Uh-huh.
And I love it because that's the only thing I know. You know, I know you said
that's
you have five motors, and you know, and it's one of the, you know, the first motor you buy. If you don't, you're going to love that motor. And all of them have something that, the way I understand, that could be improved on, or they love
sure,
it, or
sure,
you know, you love something. It's funny, the ones I've heard that have more motors, there's something about maybe that manufacturer's motor that you love that this manufacturer's motor doesn't have, but you love, you know, it's vice versa, you know, so.
It's kind of like your first car.
Right.
You know? I mean.
Yes.
You know, I I didn't know any better. I mean, I had, you know, it's what I learned in.
Yes.
I felt comfortable with. It's, you know, it's what gave me the great, you know, solo first pleasure like this.
Yes.
So cool.
You
know, I kind of, I love my motor.
Yeah. Well,
people talk about the old Solo 210.
Yes.
The other Bob. Yeah, Bob, if you're listening.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about the old Solo 210 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, as with any motor, you know, you have good ones and you have bad ones. But I'll tell you what, I have hundreds of hours on this motor.
Dude.
And
yeah,
the only thing that I've had to do with the thing is clean out the decompression hole prior. And I'm not trying to plug this. You know, I only know what I
fun,
found
yeah,
that worked. And that's, I use the AMSOIL Sabre Professional.
Oh, yeah.
It's a synthetic two-stroke oil. And, you know, when I first started, I was just buying any two-stroke oil. But I'd find that the decompression hole was carboning up and, you know, getting harder to start. And, you know, the plug, you know, et cetera. You know,
yeah,
and I just, you know, I use a premium gas. I don't use Avgas, but I use a premium gas.
Do
and
you?
I use AMSOIL.
Okay.
Mixed at 40-1, it works great.
Okay.
You know, the Solo 210, the only failures I've had with that thing was the spark plug cap falling off.
Wow.
And like I say, you know, that's pretty good. Knock
yeah,
on wood, it'll probably fail tomorrow.
No, listen.
But, you know, I mean, Jim Leon that owns the Ultralight place down here.
Okay,
we're starting to do some, you know, rebuilds on motors.
Are you? Okay.
You know, the top 80s, you know, I, you know, went through a top 80 for, Dave McWinney's local pilot here in Chicago. You know, all motors, you know, every motor has, you know, issues, but they're all two-stroke.
Right.
You know, they're all basically the same design, you know, internal parts. But, you know, we got a couple RDMs here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we've rebuilt the MZ34 that's on my trike. You know, it's, I think every motor you'll find out there, you know, hey, you know, it has something that maybe, you know, could be improved on.
Right.
But as long as, you know, you do a little preventative maintenance and run some good oil, you know, I don't really have a preference. I mean, you know, people talk about the top 80, you know, too. I mean, but, you know, I've had very good luck with, you know, the top 80.
Yeah.
Scott Travers, you know, he's, you know, he's an expert. And, you know, that's where I got my information on, you know, learning how to time, you know, time the motor.
Oh, really? And, is this a guy in your group, or?
No, he's, actually, I'm not sure where he's actually located. When, we were emailing back and forth, I think he was in Basra, Iraq.
Oh,
and, you know,
okay.
He, you know, he, you know, knows that motor like the back of his hand. And,
yeah.
You know, so do I now.
Okay.
You know, I liked the little motor. You know, I thought, man, that motor, there's no way it's going to get, you know, I'm 155 pounds.
Oh, okay.
And,
wow. Okay.
You know,
all right.
I can fly pretty much anything.
But, right.
You know, Mo Sheldon, you know, he flew a top 80, you know, down in that competition. He's 190, I think, or 195.
Wow.
And,
okay.
It's an amazing little motor.
Yeah.
You know, and, it's lightweight, but, you know, I don't know. Like I say, I mean, I'm a paragliding junkie, you know. I'll fly anything if it's got a motor on it, you know. I guess we're getting off
track. Oh, it's great information. I love it. Yeah.
But, yeah, you can edit and cut whatever you want.
Okay.
Well, so.
Yeah.
But completely cut it out or whatever.
No, no, I'm going to leave that.
Brian,
great. Okay. Fourth annual pig roast and flying.
We'll start a new segment.
There you go.
This is segment two or whatever.
It's great. All right, man. Let's talk about the fly-in. You can go to the Ultralight place and get more information, guys. We want to talk about the fourth annual pig roast and fly-in. I talked to you a little bit earlier when we was trying to line up this and everything, and you kind of told me last year you actually had an emergency happen, and you told me something was going on with your daughter. And just how is she doing? Fine? Did everything work out good? That's the big question before we get into it.
She's had a full recovery. You know, Thursday, pilots usually start coming, you know, and setting up their campers, you know, like on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there was a, you know, we were out at the airport Wednesday evening, and then Thursday came around, and I think it was right about dinner time we were sitting down. And we got the phone call that you don't want to get, and, you know, she was involved in a serious car accident. They didn't know, you know, to what extent. But so there was no question. It's time to leave. And, you know, I didn't get back to the fly-in, you know, until Saturday night, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So I completely missed our own fly-in. So, you know, last year the weather wasn't, you know, the best. But, you know, people still had some fun, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I had planned to come actually last year, and that's one of the things that I would, you know, weather's not looking good. So, but
it is, and you know, Phil and Cindy Atkins. I mean, are you familiar with Phil and Cindy?
No, I'm not. No, actually, I'm not. If you want to give a little information about them, but no,
shame.
I'm not.
Well,
oh, is
shame.
It really? Oh, dang on. I'm holding my head down now. Okay.
Well, you know, I went out to the Flying Circus out there a few years back, and here's Phil and Cindy. You know, I went to Mark's Park prior to that. Here's Phil and Cindy. If you go to a fly-in, you'll find Phil and Cindy generally. They're a husband and wife that she flies a, a Fresh Breeze trike.
Yeah.
And I think he flies a Fresh Breeze also. But the husband and wife team that flies is pretty cool.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
and you just don't find that too often.
No, considering my wife's like, no way, forget it, don't even ask. So yeah, okay.
Work on her. You gotta have around the fly-ins, and she needs to see like Cindy. You know,
yeah.
I mean, she's a very, very conservative pilot and a very, very good pilot.
Yeah.
You know, look at Eric DeFore's wife, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, she flies. Out at the Salton Sea, they had a picture of all the, you know, all the girls. They took a flight, and I can't remember how many. I think there was at least, what, 8 or 9 out there that, you know, it was kind of cool.
Yes.
And we need more girls, you know.
Yes, I agree.
Out at the field. There was a doctor lady out at the field today, and she was, you know, her husband's learning how to do a, you know, power parachute, fly a power parachute.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
You know, so she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, hey, you want to learn how to kite?
Oh, wow, excellent.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, she was kind of intrigued by it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it scares some people. You know, Sally, you know, she's gone up in a powered parachute, but she has no interest in doing powered paragliding yet.
Yeah, there you go. Working, right?
I'm still working on it.
Work in progress.
But I think that's what you'll find. You know, you'll find that most wives, that they don't come to the field.
Yeah.
I mean, Sally, she'll show up if there's 3, 4, 5 people, you know, going to be out there. And, you know, we're going to cook or something. But
okay.
I think that's across the board, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The lucky few get the better halves that want to fly.
Want to fly, exactly right.
But the pig roast, you know, the pig roast is, you know, Saturday is kind of the official day that, you know, all the ultralights and light sport planes fly in. It's, you know, and they fly in, you know, around the time that we're getting on, you know, 10:30, it starts to get pretty bumpy, you know, and generally that time of year.
Right.
And, you know, you got all these people that have flown in all these different craft, you know, the Varies, that little canard type aircraft, the home built, you know, we had a gyrocopter fly in, you know, we had, 3 years ago, there was 2 727s. Not to scare people, that was
turbulence.
All serious weight turbulence. But you know, two racing teams, the Roush Racing, they were having a race in Joliet, and they, you know, it's kind of cool to see, you know, 2 727s, you know, coming in there.
Yeah.
They don't ever stop anymore because somebody extended a runway closer to Joliet, but. No, and just the midday experience. I mean, you got craft flying in there of all different types. You know, it makes a good midday experience. You know,
that's cool. So, you know, actually, everybody gets to see a little bit of everything. So that's really cool.
It is. It is very. It's a unique experience because generally, you won't find too many power paragliders. You know, mixing in with, you know, that sort of crowd. But, you know, like I say, you know, they fly in, you know, in the morning, and then most of the time they're gone by the evening, you know, the people that are, you know, that flew in for the day just to eat.
Just eat, right,
and,
okay.
Yeah, so they're out of our way by the time we launch. But like I said, the Saturday, that's pretty much the day that, you know, you'll find that all those crafts. But other than that, it's a powered parachute and powered paragliding heaven.
Is it really? Yeah. Wow.
It is a general aviation airport. We're west of the main runway. Pretty much, you know, as long as everybody gets a briefing, it's pretty easy to follow the rules.
Okay.
And, you know, there's about 2 miles northwest of the field is another airport called Kerner's. They've been in the aviation business for 82 years now, and it's a grass strip. You'll see it in some of my videos.
That's the strip where you're at. Okay.
Yeah, the grass strip.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, it's usually me and the owner flying. You know, that they'll take off in the Piper Cub.
Yeah.
And I got the field all to myself. You know?
That's cool.
Just, but they enjoy us, and you know, if people. You don't want to do a little cross country, which 2 miles isn't a very big cross country. but to drag your feet down 2,600 foot of grass runway, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And about 3 miles west of there is this giant rock quarry, and just an amazing, you know, piece of Illinois. Because you know, flying over it, looking down at, you know, you, Dave Moore took a picture. It looks like something out of the Caribbean.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I don't know. We got the river. You know, the river's just a short distance away. There's a water park about a mile and a half away.
Okay.
It's not a very big water park, but it's something to entertain the kids.
Yeah.
There's a shower on site. The guy that cooks, he'll be cooking Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Usually sets up Wednesday, but restaurants are real close. Within flying distance, if somebody, if we wanted to do like a little cross country to, a restaurant, that would be cool too. Mm-hmm. There's one that welcomes us. It's about, I'd say 5 miles away.
Okay.
And, they just enjoy it. We're entertainment for them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But, it's, play it by ear and see how it goes.
Okay.
Hopefully, we have a good turnout. I mean,
So Saturday's actually when is the main food setup is
the actual pig roast will be on Saturday.
Will be on Saturday,
and
okay.
There will be there'll be food. The guy that cooks, he'll be cooking Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay.
Breakfast and dinner.
Okay.
It's all donation basis.
Is it? Okay. Is there a fee that we... Okay.
Last year, I provided shirts for, all the Power Paraglider pilots, at no cost. So the early birds that want to tell me that they're actually coming, I might,
That would be nice, guys. An early sign up. Okay.
Yeah.
I might
consider that. We're going to do shirts, but, last year the problem came about... with the emergency situation where
right.
I had to leave, there was, I think I had like 50 or 60 made up, and, it was kind of a first-come, first-served basis. So,
yeah, okay.
It's, I don't know, it's just a good time.
Good time.
The camping, it's free on site, pull your camper in.
Camper,
you
tent,
come in
tent camping, all good?
Tent camp, there's an area that you can pitch a tent for, or you can camp with a tent. There's an area that you can pull your campers in.
Okay.
It's pretty much we're just trying to build a Midwest fly-in. We have it out in California. We have it down in Florida.
Florida, yeah.
But
yeah.
We don't. The closest thing would be the the Arkansas.
Oh, yes, foot drag, yes.
The
Britton
drag.
Shawls, yeah. Which is
but
coming.
As far as, the middle of, the states here, we got guys from Michigan, they're about 4 hours away from us,
yeah.
But, we're trying to build this into something that, it's a, hopefully you don't turn it into a nightmare where it gets so big that,
yeah.
You kind of got to start limiting it.
Limiting everything, yeah. How many guys flying in your area? You actually live in Kankakee? Am I
live in Kankakee.
Okay. How many guys
do
you have that actually fly? You have you have a little group, or is it just you? Like it's here in Louisville, it's just me right now. But
Well, it was just me, and then there was a guy from Bradley, Wes Wu. He's a new pilot.
Yeah.
And he's 3 miles away from me.
Okay.
Mike Koval. You can entertain, as you know, you can entertain yourself for about a year, and then you need to start going and looking for other pilots.
Exactly. You're so right. Yes.
I started going up north, and, it's about an hour and a half away where there's a polo field.
Polo field,
where they actually play polo,
yeah.
And they're nice enough to let people drag their feet around their field when they're not.
Yeah.
And there's probably a dozen guys up north. That are regular pilots, I would say, would be a realistic figure.
Okay.
But like Mike Koval, he's 45 minutes for me. He comes over here. He called me actually before I had to cut him off. I told him you were calling at 8:30. So, he's planning on coming down tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But,
cool.
So there's guys that's from Indiana, John Stovall. So the biggest gathering we had this season, I think we had nine or ten pilots that showed up because the weather looked perfect.
Yeah, looked. And, wait a minute, you said looked perfect.
It did, and, yeah. It was.
Oh, okay.
It was
mini, all right.
You know, just a little miniature gathering, a little miniature flying. But
yeah.
One of the pilots up north, he's a GA pilot, Gary Brown, and surprise, surprise, I'm like, you know, I'm still in the air, and I'm like, you know, who's this guy taxiing the Cessna, you know, towards
yeah.
the field, you know? And then
yeah.
I did a low pass, and lo and behold, it was Gary Brown and his family and, you know, his wife. And
I saw that video. Yes.
You had
a video of that one, I do believe.
I did. I think
yeah.
I did do a video. But,
yeah.
You know, so it's also nice, you know, and it was getting too dark, but, you know, that's kind of the thing, you know, if you can fly down, grab a motor and go, it's kind of neat. But,
yeah.
So, outside of that, you know, everybody's welcome, you know.
Yeah.
We had a couple vendors. I had the guy from I apologize because I can't remember
his name
off the top
yeah.
of my head, but
okay.
he's the USA importer for the Dudek wings.
Oh, okay. All right.
He was out in the Salton Sea, and let's see, Scott Clark, he's a pilot from Chicago. He's importing the Nova wings. He's inquired about setting up a booth. So if guys want to, you know, set up a booth, they're welcome to do that. It'd just be, it'd kind of be nice to, you know, have a little information. You know,
yeah.
what they're going to be providing and, you know.
Guys, you go, I'm sorry, you go to USPA and the events page, you'll find contact information for Lance and try to get in touch with him for telling him you're coming. You know, that's probably the thing to do, try to let you know. So go ahead, Lance, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, if you're selling equipment, wings, motors, you know, it'd be great. I mean, you know,
yeah.
that's, you know, there's a lot of interest, you know, in the sport. It's just a matter of, you know, okay, they find out about the flying, they come, you know, come to the event, and they go, wow, you know,
yeah.
now what kind of equipment? You know, it's nice for them to be able to walk through, you know, some booths and say, hey, you know, this is what
really
I got,
good.
You know, this is, you know, how does this feel on your back, you know?
Yeah.
We're trying to, you know, get Eric DeFour to, come on up here, you know, he's, you know, one of the best,
best
pilots out there.
Yeah.
And he tries, I'm gonna pour it on here, Will. He tries to play pool, you know, billiards.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We got a little competition going, you know, and right now it's, you know, it's even.
Yeah.
You know, neither one of us is willing to take the trophy. But you know,
wait. This is one that has a pool table in his shop down there. I recall
yes.
seeing. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I actually had to assemble that pool table so we could play while I was down there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. And we spent hours. You know, it was great. His place is great. You know, you go fly in the morning, you play pool. Most of the afternoon, and you wait for it to become perfect again to go fly.
Yeah.
So, you know,
oh.
Eric and I played hundreds of games while I was down there, and you know, we just kind of took a draw on it. But
so if I called him and talked to him, he'll tell me the same thing, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what I was thinking. All right.
From what I understand, he's been practicing his pool game over the winter from with Frank Savanak from Canada.
Oh, wow.
He's an instructor,
yeah.
you know, that winters down in Florida. But maybe we can get Frank up here, too.
Oh, that'd be nice.
But I think you're doing a good service. You know, you're providing niche in the market there that, you know, you're kind of specializing in events. And
yes,
somebody
yes,
wants to,
exactly.
You know, you hear about an event, and you kind of go, man, do I want to drive, you know,
right.
8 hours, you know?
What's there? Is there a place for me to camp? What are the rooms, the hotels?
Right,
what else
right.
are they going to do? Yes, exactly. That's one of the big
things.
Go ahead.
Exactly. There's hotels nearby.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and it's like any city. There's good, bad, and ugly areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the hotels that, you know, people are interested, they should probably just get a hold of me and see if that's a good place to stay.
There you go.
I mean, you know, there's the Hilton, which is right down the street, which is probably $90 you know, $90 a night.
Yeah.
And then you have everything down, you know, down below that. But you know, I encourage people to, you know, come to the fly-in, camp on site. Like I say, there's a shower available.
That makes it nice. That makes it really
does. I, you know, I'm a type of person, you know, even if I'm at a fly-in, I still would like a shower.
Shower, yeah. Yeah, I've been looking at, like, these, well, maybe I can get this portable shower thing here, and I'll be able to take a shower and camp at, or, yeah, oh, yeah, that makes it really nice.
It's a big deal,
yes,
you know? I mean,
absolutely.
You just want to, you know, just clean up, you know?
Yes.
And, yeah. It, you know, that's, you know, and like I say, you can, you know, you can camp out with a tent or a camper. There's food, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, if people, you know, drive up in a motorhome, you know, there'll still be, you know, other people that are going to restaurants or what, you know, whatnot. They can get a ride or, like I say, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there'll be food on site, so it don't matter.
Yeah,
but if they
want
to venture to a restaurant, that's another possibility. You know, there's a Cracker Barrel that's about, maybe 6 miles away, you know, it's within flying distance. You know, most likely be a one-way flight. And then, you know, if there was interest in that, then, you know, we'd just go ahead and take a trailer along and, you know, everybody...
Very cool. That would be very cool.
Play it by ear.
Yeah.
You know, have
Sounds
fun.
Sounds like
very
relaxing.
Safe.
Yeah.
Look forward to it, man.
Yeah, that is great, man. Sounds good. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you about it. But guys, if you want more information, like I said, you can go to USPA.org and go on the events page, and it's on there. He's got his numbers on there. And I would actually tell you to visit the ultralightplace.com. Very nice little website there. It's got all the information you basically need, directions, time, and dates about the fly-in. So, well, Lance, anything
there's
else?
There's a few video links on there from, I think, the past, I think there's pictures on the ultralightplace.com. You know, they can get a feel for, you know, what it looks like. And, you know, it's very laid back, you know. It's all about just, you know, keeping everybody safe. Hopefully, you know, we don't get anybody that's, you know, not paying attention to where the runway is.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, well.
Don't fly over there. It's just pretty simple. We have all this area. It's huge.
Yeah.
As long as you go north and you go west, no big deal.
If you want to go southeast,
you know, then there's a few little things that you got to do to get over there.
Yeah.
But looking forward to you know, coming up here, Will, and I think you're doing a good job, man.
Thanks, man. I greatly appreciate it. That's like you said, it's when we was talking there, you know, been in it, I was a year in October, and here in Louisville, so far it's just been me, and that was the thing that I was looking for, to know more information about the fly-ins, and because you could, like you say, you can entertain yourself for about a year. After that, you're like looking for somebody, anybody interested in it in your area that you could go fly with. So, and that was one of the things I always, man, I wonder how that is. You know, well, I can just go and find out, well, can I take a tent? Well, do I need, you know, room? Well, I can, you know, and you, there's information on there, but actually to be able to talk to somebody about the fly-in and event that's in charge of it, to give you a little bit more information that you might not quite, you know, read or,
right,
or you know,
right.
That it, you know, that's why. That's,
well, sometimes it's the simplest thing, and, you know, I mean, the reason I bring up the shower is, you know, 2 years ago when I towed a travel trailer down to Eric's place.
Oh wow!
And you know, it going over the hills, you know, were just incredible. And I mean, it was very heavy. You know? And you know, I brought Dave Moore and Mike Cavall. You know, they were flying commercially, and I brought their equipment down. And I mean, it was just a long haul with a big old camper.
Yes.
And when I got there, and I found out that there was a shower, a laundry, you know, a washer and dryer on site.
Yeah.
I was like, why did I
bring
this
can? Yes, exactly.
You know? I mean, it's like I say, it's one thing, you know, to go to a fly-in, you know, and, you know, I'm not a big tent person, but if I knew they had a shower there and I could at least, you know, clean up a little bit, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's right.
So, you know, you're doing a good service, you know. People can get a feel for what the events are like. And hopefully we can talk to Bruce Brown, you know. I listened to your previous show there, and I got to put a bug in his ear. He needs to set up a shop.
Yeah, I asked him. I said, Bruce, are you going to show come? I don't know.
I know.
Bruce, wait a minute. You got this new machine out. People want to see it, you know. Hey, touch it. Feel it. Put it on. Try it, you know. So
exactly.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, Lance, I thank you very much, man. I can't think of anything else. I didn't know if you wanted to. You have anything else you'd like to say to everybody? go ahead.
Could talk for hours.
I know. Tell me about it. Wait a minute. Let me reset. Hold on. Reset the recorder. Well, cool.
We could talk about motors. We could talk about, you know. But
well, I'll tell you what. I have to get you back on, and we'll talk some more. So, but I really wanted to get information about your fly-in, and we talked about a lot. So that's great, man. Thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate the call, and have good safe flights, and look forward to flying with you.
Thanks, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, guys, that was Lance Marzak, the 4th Annual Pig Roast and Fly-In, July 10th through the 12th, Kankakee, Illinois. Go to TalkingPPGRadio.com, and you will actually, there's a direct link to the website where you can get more information about the fly-in. Also, you can go to USPA.org, the events page. There's also information there. So, and I'm sure Lance would be more than happy to take any questions you may have about coming to the fly-in. So hopefully we did answer a lot of them for you. Also, thank you, Paul Zarnicki, Planet PPG, for coming on and giving us more information, a little more personal information about Bill Crosby. And I'd like to dedicate the flyaway song that I play at the end of my show to Bill and also the other pilot that we lost in our PPG community. So I have to get off here and get ready for the foot drag, Britton Shaw's foot drag. So got a lot of stuff I need to do. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. And guys, thanks for listening.
The skies so very high, just like a dragonfly, yeah. I fly above the trees, all around the seas, and on the breeze, to anywhere I please. Oh, I want to get away, I want to fly away, yeah. Yeah.
I want to fly.